All right, welcome to On Tap, episode 10.
10, double digits.
Anniversary edition.
Moving on up, look at us.
Moving on up to the east side. Going to be a great show. We've got a lot of interesting things to talk about. Most of it's going to come out of this first opening. Had a great weekend, had a crazy weekend. Myself, yourself, Paul, Joe, just wild.
You probably guys had a day of it for sure.
Well, probably 3 weeks between going to Southern National.
And there's no end in sight.
Yeah.
We're steady digging.
Unfortunately. Which, I mean, I say unfortunately, but fortunately. We talked to a few people today about potential more tracks adding to the Ultra Broadcasting, which just makes it a little bit tougher, you know, as far as our weekends off, which don't exist. But, no, it was a good week. We had got the trailer together. We talked about it 100 times on this this podcast, is that we worked on that broadcast production trailer, took it for the first time to Lakeview. I think the broadcast turned out great.
You got to come up with a nickname for it.
What's that?
For the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like Sammy with the drone.
Well, let's not. That was
well,
cursed.
Yeah, we don't want to wreck
let's
it.
Not name that it Sammy.
Sammy was only $300. That trailer's got a little bit more in it.
Nice tires on it. What was that?
Yeah. It's really nice tires.
From the exterior, they're really nice.
But, yeah, we got to. I'm with you. We got to come up with a name, and like, instead of you see trailers, like business trailers that have like 001. Like have numbers on it.
Yeah.
I say we just name them.
Yeah.
So, what's the first one? If it's a possum, kill it.
Nah.
Please come up with like.
We'll come up with some.
We'll come up with Will Ferrell names because
Paul seems much more creative than you and I. So
yeah,
he can probably come up with something much better.
Sorry. But no. We accomplished the one thing that I was scared to death about was two races one day. So we had a race here at Florence Motor Speedway, and then we traveled up to Lakeview.
Two broadcasts one day. Technically a lot of races.
Oh, a lot of
two,
races.
Two different broadcasts.
Two different broadcasts, same crew. We kicked Owen out of the legend car after he got done about getting punched.
Yeah, I think Owen wanted to get out of here.
He needed to get out of here. He about got punched in the mouth. What was that kid's name that he hit?
Nick Bulkley.
Yeah. Owen went off into three for fourth place.
I think Nick Bulkley was ready to bulk up at Owen and get him.
Both
rightfully so, though, I will say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was Owen hit him once and then hit him again.
Yeah, he had that semi-pro mentality of Jackie Moon. Fourth place. Yeah.
I don't know if it was necessary, but anyways, we got him out of here, and him and Leanne went up to Lakeview and became camera operators. And I'll tell you what, Tim, we've known Tim for a long time. We've known Lakeview has been around. Mm-hmm. But, man, they put on a heck of a show, and it's a great facility. A lot of our people were up there. We got to see the Barnhills. They were there. Charles Todd was there.
We were talking about everybody going. Also, Alan. I mean, Alan Dietz. He did a double duty for us.
Yeah, traveled right from here to there. So, no, it was cool. And, man, I'm telling you, like, you and I have talked about it, but dirt track working. Tim said he put in 36 hours just in
that. We tried it two weekends for the go-karts
with,
that we were at.
With a small go-kart track. This is a massive facility with new dirt. But he drove in his tractor for 36 hours, tilling it, packing it. But the dust was down. He watered it. He did everything that he needed to do. And they had a great show with the Blue Ridge asphalt or Blue Ridge dirt late models. And we're actually going to get a chance to speak to the winner of their race. But no, it was fun. Definitely different with the camera work, trying to figure that out as far as asphalt. You know, you can just put it there and don't worry about the dust. But got through all the little kinks and little nuances of running a dirt race, but I think everything for the most part turned out good. So how was it on your end? Because I did not help at all when it came to Florence.
Oh, everything was good. I guess I had to pretty much conduct everything. The driver's beaten, which was much better apparently than what you did.
Well,
there's no questions. I asked any questions.
Makes sense.
No one said anything. I said, cool. Apparently, Steve must suck at doing this.
Yeah. So the thing that's about to start happening for those that are watching Florence Motor Speedway, when the gates say they're open, you might want to show up they say they're open. When tires are going to get mounted, you might want to show up when tires are going to get mounted.
That thing called a schedule. We will go by the schedule.
Yeah. So I won't be here. So that means I can't screw it up.
Yeah. You just drove into Fville and I'm the mayor. So that's cool.
So I'll be at Lakeview pushing buttons. And what's crazy is, so for next race, we've decided that so Paul is going to be here because we got our prelude. They got their prelude. We've adjusted the schedule because we feel it best for us here at Florence to not race head-to-head against the Xfinity race.
No.
Green flag for us will be around 7 o'clock.
7.
Pre-race stuff will be around 6. And Paul, decided it best for the broadcast that I don't produce the Florence Motor Speedway one.
I tell you, Paul is a very wise guy.
So I'll see you at Lakeview Motor Speedway. Lakeview, I promise you, it's going to be a good show.
I hope you all tune in for the first one because you will not want to tune in for the second. I'm kidding. Man. You do a good job.
So I'll be there producing Lakeview. Paul will be here with James Pike and our announcers doing their thing. So it's definitely a challenge right now for all of us trying to figure out how this works. I think the broadcast side is a huge benefit to us. We've talked about it where we're probably the only racetrack that actually just financially moves and breathes by the racetrack.
Yeah, we have nothing else, right?
We have nothing else behind it. So this broadcast thing is a chance for us to get a little bit of breathing room where we can kind of get some sleeping nights, not sleepless nights. So I'm excited about what it takes, and if that's what it takes is for me to not be here to make the best of what Ultra Broadcasting has to offer, that's what I got to do. And you've always done a good job with putting on the races. I've in the last probably 2 years I've done a whole lot of nothing. So I mount tires. We've got Tony now doing that. So we've got the racing. We're not gonna our racing is not going to hinder in any way.
I hope not.
No, it won't, because but I'm gonna go and do that. So it's looking forward to it. Big weekend just all around in the PD, the Xfinity race, the Cup Series is coming to Darlington.
Yep.
We just had a chance and we talked to Stephen Parsons, man, just whenever the Darlington weekend comes and we get to be a part of it, and now Lakeview is a part of it, just an overall exciting week.
Now, they were at Lakeview this past weekend, right?
Who was that?
Darlington.
They had Darlington weekend. They brought the pace car was the pace car. They had their car out there. So, yeah, no, it's going to be a great week, weekend of April 5th here at Florence Motor Speedway as well as Lakeview Motor Speedway. And we talked about it. I talked with Tim. Is that, a little bit different than when we go head-to-head with Dillon. We go head-to-head with Southern National. That's a crowd that, conflicts with each other. But Lakeview, being where they're located, dirt fans are dirt fans.
Right.
We can't take away from car count.
Which it seems like there's a lot more dirt fans than asphalt fans, sure. If you look at the crowd attendance.
Yep. Yeah. So we can't really affect them, but we can definitely benefit and be there to put on and produce the best show that I can produce, apparently, which will be a good show. I'm not far off. I'm just not Paul.
You're not Paul, no.
All right, easy.
You're par at best.
Yeah, I'm bogey.
Yeah, but Paul's sinking birdies and eagles. You're just par.
Yeah, but no, it's fine. Like I said, it's going to be a good weekend. Looking forward to it. So right now we came up here. Brian did trash again today, as always. Seems like every time we get on this podcast, it's all about you doing trash.
Yep.
How much did I do?
I saw you sitting in the grandstands a lot.
I did. I was trying to find somebody to talk to today.
You could have been right beside me working. It would have been a bad thing.
Tough.
But it's okay.
I gotta do things.
Yeah, this is all good.
Yeah, but
trash is always fun. Not to talk bad about anybody, but our people that come out, it would be nice if you put the trash in the trash can, probably 5 foot from where you throw it down.
We talked about, I think it was at Myrtle, we talked about literally handing them a trash bag as they were coming in. Like, here. Just do us a favor.
These trash bags are tough, though, because the critters get in them. Like, if you don't do it that night of, which Diaz does, which works out tremendous for him. It's
possum.
No possums or anything. Yeah.
Lakeview was pretty clean when it was over, and obviously being a dirt track, you would think it'd be dirty, but no, it was beautiful when it was finished. And then they had people the next morning back out there on the grandstands. But their grandstands is, like we talked about, how I envisioned ours. Ours, they go under the grandstands. And to get to that, to then clean, is a pain. Where Myrtle used to be able to walk under the grandstands.
Yep.
Lakeview, you can walk on the grandstands, and it doesn't get under.
This here is a back-breaking job.
You got to get under there and sit on and straddle the thing and pick at it. Yep. So I guess what we're asking at this point is, please don't throw it under the grandstands. If you want to set it on the grandstands so we can get to it, that would be great.
Yep. The way it's going here lately, might want to throw it on the track, get a caution, because we've been clean and green for the most part, which is not a bad thing for the race director side of it, so don't take it the wrong way.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not going to be here anyways.
Yeah. But it's been good.
Paul's handling it. I'll be in Lakeview. A lot of cool stuff, though, that so with that, we're not going to quit making each and every event at Florence any better. Got some cool stuff. I think we've got it lined up to have a flyover for the Prelude. Going to have some stuff in order for pre-race stuff. Possibly a Friday night concert, just normal Florence Motor Speedway stuff, trying to make every event we do bigger and better.
I think the good thing about doing it in the evening that day as well, you might see some names pop up. Because we know Keelan's racing late models again.
Yep.
He made his debut in late model stocks this past week. So I would imagine Kevin's coming as well, maybe some other names.
Yep. I thought he did pretty good.
I thought he did really good. Qualified outside. I don't know what happened at the beginning, if they just had a different
mindset, like back
strategy about saving some tires early, not knowing the pace of the race, how it would go out. But yeah, but he had a ton of speed. I mean, he came back to the field pretty easily.
Yep. Yeah, Matt came home victorious, he has been lately.
I mean, he's got to figure it out here.
He's been spot on, whether it's, I know he had his little bit of struggles at Southern National, but for the most part, he was still up front there. He's competitive the whole time, and then comes home and back to where he was when he left. So definitely going to be a challenge for everyone that comes here to race against Matt and his whole team. They seem like they got it. I thought the car counts were a little bit lower than probably you and I wanted.
I think it's just the region. Everywhere you look, South Boston still had what right at 20, but still, I thought that might be a little bit more than it was.
Right,
the King of the Modifies was good. They had a good car count. I don't know what Boo had, like 9 or 10 street stocks. Yeah. I thought just with that weekend in general that they would have more in all the divisions, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and talked to Aaron a little bit earlier because we're getting ready to put their first podcast out on our platform. But
so we better get viewers while we can. This is our opportunity.
Yeah. Finally going to be, we're going to be lower podcast on the totem pole. But they talked about Hickory had an event, and we've said that before, like you and I do the best we can, or you do the best you can to make our schedule to not afflict or conflict with anyone that's out there. But I mean, you got to make a schedule based on us. Like we can only do so much. And then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and you look around and you're like, oh man, South Boston's got this, and oh man, Hickory's got this, and Lakeview's got this, and Dillon's got this. Like, it's so hard for us we just make our schedule and do the best we can with it. But once you get up in the morning on a Saturday and there's 7 racetracks with the exact same division you got, I mean, it's just
it's tough.
You're not gonna get the same car count. Plus, we talked about is that our local crowd isn't where it used to be. At the beach, we used to have 15.
Yeah, and we feared this back at beach days. Like, what happens when this person just gives it up or this person stops racing? And I think that time may be slowly setting in.
Yep.
So we got to go to work as promoters to figure out where they are and get them at.
Yep. And it's a tough world we live in, because is it limited? Is it late model? Is it charger? Which one's the one you're chasing?
We were talking about this past weekend. I don't know if you cancel one, if you gain in the other division or not, because we actually talked about that last year with the limiteds and chargers. And I think maybe Averett was the only one at that point. Because some of them just wasn't racing, and they were sitting out to the end of the year when we did have the limited races. So I do think that we brought some guys back weekly to run limiteds. I honestly don't know what the answer is, but we need to figure it out quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still got, we know of our Jamie Weatherfords. We know of our Ryan Glinskys. We know of our Averett Lucas's.
There was a good bit of the trucks. Like this past weekend, Jody Miesemer, he normally brings 2 when he comes. He wasn't here. Meredith Dusty, the track champ last year.
Wasn't
Struber.
Here.
I mean, they're all out there.
Yeah.
And we talked about it before on an earlier episode of this. Is just, you never know what they got going on. I mean, they might have arrangements already set, and I mean, you can't fault them for that.
No, of course. Yeah, and I think the one thing I would ask of the audiences that are listening is I don't care if it's our racetrack or if it's any other racetrack, because it seems like everybody and their brother goes on Race Monitor and like, oh, they only got 4 cars, and they don't live and breathe off of that stuff, man. Like, I mean, there's just stuff that comes up. I mean, your big races get good car counts. Certain weekends get good car counts. But there's nothing we can do, and there's nothing they should do to do that. All we ask as a racetrack is that if you're available and you want to come race, that you'd want to come race with us. But we can't force that upon nobody. So when we get 8 cars or we get 7 in here, because I don't care what you say, and I don't care. Like, there's a ton of people that'll tell you, put money to the purse and they'll come. It ain't going to change up.
We tried that back at the beach. Yep. It was called the Get It Before It Burns.
Yep.
Yeah, the highest person on weekly race we had, I think, was the lowest car count that season that we had.
Yep. So it's all timing. It's all situational. It's just, I mean, some weeks it got 8 and some weeks got 15. Yep. Some weeks got 18. We lived at 15 until, about mid-season last year? And then all of a sudden we were 9-10, and now here we are 8-9.
Yeah, that's why it was kind of alarming, because normally we looked at the trends the last couple of seasons, and even dating back to the beach, where they start falling off in the summer, and then for it to start right out the get-go, that way was kind of alarming.
Maybe in hindsight, it'll go the other way.
Maybe. Well, I mean, our point structure is accommodating.
Oh, I think so.
And so maybe, it's not like they're out.
And I think that might be something we look at in the offseason. It's like, maybe we made it too accommodating, yeah, which true. Which is fine. It's all good, like, if it all plays itself out for the racetrack and the business. But, you know, making it where – and we made a few phone calls today just to let everyone know that you don't have to – like, don't ever feel like you're out now. You're probably just – whether it's the I-95 showdown, whether it's our local stuff – you're in it. I mean, it doesn't take but, four races to be top five?
That's it.
So, no, it's a challenge. We've talked about it numerous times on all these conversations, is that running a racetrack and trying to manage a racetrack is not easy. And trying to appease the racers and get enough cars where the fans want to come. But we also just want to have a good time. Like, we want the racer to show up. Brian did a good job the other day of – I mean, you were done by what, 5:15, 5:30?
I remember looking up 5:39 is when the front stretch was clear from post race of the Chargers.
Yeah. Yep. So just having a good time. Like, we talk about past racing and you know, racing in the future, but be able to come to the racetrack with your car, with your family, have a good time. You know, that's what we're trying to give to everyone. We definitely had some challenges this week though with that. We had one kind of little hiccup.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, what goes hand in hand with getting done earlier is the racers working with you and have racing with some respect. Yeah, there was one particular instance in the Charger race. I don't know what was quite going on. We just asked that you pay attention to the flags that we put out.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're getting lapped. Like, you need to start preparing yourself like laps prior and the leader's getting there. So then you don't know, you have to back up that entry if you're going to have to run the bottom. If you yield and give them the top, of course you're going to wash up. There's things that you got to prepare for. And that's why we try to, some people say that we put the flag out too prematurely, like telling the drivers to move over, but it's not that. It's like,
you know,
get prepared. The leaders are coming.
Right.
So we don't want the very lap that you go down, you're like, oh, this is the first time in the whole race I went in this low. Well, and you wash up and cost the race.
Yeah. I would say whole race, but also the whole career. But the, Oof. The when it comes to getting lapped, you know, like I said, you know they're coming.
It's not, and
like
it's not just respect to the leader. It's respect to every lead lap car that's passing you. You just got to just showcase that same respect, because at that point, you're trapped. It doesn't matter. You're not racing any of them for position. If a caution comes out, you might get the lucky dog if you're not the caution. Just have that respect, because if the shoe's on the other foot, you would definitely want it for you as well.
Of course. The in our world. Yeah, Owen.
Respect.
Yeah, but he's going to learn.
Bulkley moves you for the win, one that you're like, oh, yeah, now four places messed up.
I can tell you right now that if Nick Bulkey, if you're listening and you dump Owen for the win coming into three, Brian's got your back.
Yeah. the applause is coming from the tower.
Yeah, he saw it. He gets it. So, but at the end of the day, the toughest part for you and I is we want to control what's happening. We want to make sure that it doesn't turn into you know, a chaos, or turn into a WWE, even though you love some wrestling.
I do. But I mean, you and I being out there before doing it, I mean, I find myself sometimes just wanting to key up and like spot for every car when I see something brewing that might come to tuition. And sometimes, unfortunately, it does. Like, just say, like, come on, just listen to me. Listen to me. But you can't do that.
Yeah, of course. But at the same time, you and I, like, we watch stuff and, you know, again, we go back to each side sees each story a little bit different. And you and I have to do our best to try to penalize. Like, that's why we put that list on the website where it says first offense is this. But then you have situations where people go above and beyond and they're chasing people with cars. Like, we have to control.
We can only dictate and police things that we see in front of us at our track. Like, even if it's an altercation at another racetrack that comes here, like, that technically it didn't involve us prior.
Right.
So we're only going to police it as we see it in front of us.
And the part is, we don't want to penalize nobody. We just don't want them to hurt each other and wreck cars.
There's a fine line. Once you cross it, that's when we step in.
Yeah, so that's where it's gotten weird for us, because obviously we just said car count was low. We don't want to take away goes to not letting them wreck each other either.
That's right.
So once a car gets wrecked, then it's over for them, and we lost them anyway. So it's managing a racetrack is tough, and people will never understand the difficulties and the work it takes to keep Brian doing trash, but also have to deal with the phone calls and the on-track stuff and making
now it's making more sense while you're taking the back seat and going to the broadcasting side. Yeah. Okay.
Worst case scenario, I'm pushing buttons and I don't
call
send.
Him. I'm appearing to film.
Don't even call him. I wouldn't even hear. I had to when I called some people to just talk, just say, hey, you know, appreciate you joining us this weekend. They're like, we never saw you. I'm like, yeah, no, I wouldn't ever hear. I didn't do anything. So, but we've been like that for a long time. I like I said, the racing on our end at Florence Motor Speedway will not change. We've got the right people in the right place. And right now my job is to help with the broadcasting. I think those that have watched our broadcast, whether it's mine or Paul's, like I said, if we're doing Grammys and Oscars, obviously Paul wins. But for the most part,
you get the participation award.
Yeah, I've got a lot of participation trophies. I'll throw that in the trash. But the no, like I said, our shows are just as good as I've been texted that they're just as good as everyone else. And right now, it's just where my head has to be is get this broadcast stuff going and continue to grow it. So
well, I think when it comes to like the race control side of it too, I hope I speak for you as well, where you and I are just going to echo the other person's statement. So whatever I say, you're going to have my back. Whatever you say, I'm going to have your back.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in the driver's meeting, which is probably why they all laugh, because I've said Brian would, and Brian is like, I've just spoke as if I was you.
There's
so.
Been some situation where they come over and say, well, Steve just said, what, yeah, what?
Yeah.
Come in, run this by me one more time.
Yeah. I have said numerous times in the driver's meeting that whatever Brian says, I agree with. Whatever Mike says, I agree with. So, no, it's going to be a challenge, for both of us just to make sure that we're in the right places at the right time, getting tires mounted and all that stuff. But, it's overall good weekend. Similar winners, which is the conversation we're having right now.
Yeah, we got to look at that. And I think when we talked about people reaching out saying this and that, please say, like, if you're a competitor, what's attributing to not coming? Like, right. If it's you have no arrangements and you just simply didn't come because of this reason, I mean, we would like to hear that. Because
if it's our fault, we'll figure out a way to fix it. Yeah. There's certain things, obviously, we can only do so much. But but there are things we're working on as far as the multiple winners and trying to make it equal. We did it to start with. We did it with the new rules, or the new point structure. So top five of the top five races – move on.
Because, you look at it and it's tough to give a harsh penalty to someone who just has it figured out.
Right.
Like, for instance, Kyle Larson. Christopher Bell. I mean, he busted off multiple wins there in the Cup Series. They're not going to give him a handicap just because they got it figured out at that point. And then it's also tough to mandate someone moving up in a division because there's a lot of cost that comes with racing nowadays.
Oh, of course. Yep. So we'll get it figured out. But right now, episode 10 is underway. We've got some interviews coming up. Brian and I kind of had a chance there for those that probably didn't follow along exactly where we were going there. But I think we kind of were able to speak on some things that we felt necessary.
Yeah, we got to hurry up, wrap this up. We got to go somewhere, speaking of.
Where are we going?
Come on. Well, something tonight, right?
What's that?
Tonight? What's that? Certain issue that we were just talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Home. We've got to go home.
Yeah, that too.
but anyways, exciting episode 10 coming to you. We got some really cool interviews coming up. We're going to have a chance to speak to our winner from Blue Ridge Outlaws at Lakeview. And we hope you stay tuned here on Tap, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. All right, we're back on Tap here at Florence Motor Speedway, and we've got a special guest this afternoon, someone that had his first chance at announcing the Icebreaker.
Yeah.
And I think did an amazing job.
I thought really good insight and everything.
Yeah, tied into with Steve Post, and no better person to sit side by side and learn from. Ladies and gentlemen, we're welcoming in Stefan Parsons. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
So, Stefan, we brought you in today, kind of just you and I got to talking a little bit about racing in general. We have conversations randomly and a lot going on in your world. So just kind of fill us in on what's going on racing-wise for Stefan Parsons.
Yeah, just got done with race in Miami this past weekend. We had a good outing for our first race as a team this year. It was really... really happy with how we made the truck better throughout the weekend. First race on that truck for us, so I feel like it's a good start to the year for us. Really had an awesome partner with us this past weekend in Annette Bus Lines, you know, local Florida company. They're a charter bus company in Florida, coming up on their 50th year in business in the state of Florida, and actually got to go down to Orlando for their kickoff event. You know, spring and summer is one of their busiest parts of the year, and they do basically a summit with a lot of their drivers going into the year, where everyone can kind of get together and they can you know, kind of have you know, be able to see each other and talk with everybody. And we got to go down there and have a show truck down there, and that was really cool. And it was really cool to have everyone out at the racetrack this weekend. So really happy with how that weekend went, and you know, solid weekend as far as performance goes. You know, obviously we don't have the necessarily a budget that some of the bigger teams that we were racing around do, and it felt good to go out there and be competitive right off the get-go, and you know, beat some trucks maybe with a little more resources and budget that we do, and now we can you know, just tune on our truck and try to make it better for the next one.
Yeah, so I've talked about it a little bit in our episodes, is that you know, you came and did your legend car stuff, you did your late model stuff. I had a chance to do, you know, I had a chance to go to Homestead, drove Homestead. Actually, Brian drove Homestead in a, IndyCar, yep, with the driving experience. Now we've never, run the speed you were, but, kind of just explain to us, the difference. Like when you come here and run Florence at the 400 or whatever, and you go to a Homestead, because my first time running Daytona, in a ride car, 2004, that first couple laps, man, it was wild, speed-wise. Like, it just, the to try to process all of it. But then after about lap four, it just slows right down. Kind of explain to all of our guys what it's like to go run a late model stock here at Florence Motor Speedway, but then also go to Daytona or go to Homestead and run an Xfinity or a truck race.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I would say Homestead is a lot closer to Florence than Daytona would be. You know, Florence is obviously really tough on tires. There's a lot of tire conservation that goes into racing at Florence, but also too, kind of as tires fall off, the pace falls off, you have the ability to move around at Florence. And Homestead is a lot of the same thing. You know, there's a lot of grip your first couple laps on tires on a restart, and that grip goes away very quickly. But Homestead is a cool track for us because it allows us to be able to basically run anywhere on the racetrack. Obviously, our trucks and cars are pretty aero-sensitive, especially in traffic. So Homestead is one of those tracks that you kind of circle as a driver, knowing that, you know, that, you know, if you have a good truck or a good car, you can kind of be in control of your own destiny a little bit more and move around and be able to kind of get to the spot that you feel like you should be running. So Homestead is definitely one of the more fun tracks that we go to, definitely one of my favorite tracks in the schedule. You can run everywhere from the bottom to the middle. The middle in 3 and 4 is not that good, but the top, as we saw, Kyle Larson Friday night, just an absolute masterclass at running the wall, both ends. It's amazing the precision at which he can do that. You know, I moved up to run the wall in 3 and 4 towards the end of the race in the last stage. But you know, I'm not sure that I did it to the perfection that he did. It's pretty incredible to watch what he can do in a, really in any sort of a vehicle. But, I think racing at Florence helps me at tracks like that. And, you know, Darlington and Richmond, places that are a little more, worn out and the pace falls off a lot more. And Myrtle Beach back in the day as well, very similar racing style. You know, as a driver, you love going to tracks like that. You know, you love any opportunity to race, but tracks that the pace falls off and tires wear out is a lot of fun, because it, you know, it just kind of owes to, puts it back in our hands a little bit and being able to kind of fine tune and be more precise with our inputs. And, you know, it's more fun to have to be, you know, very precise and not necessarily just have your foot down. Your foot down on the gas pedal the entire time, but really having to pedal it and manage tires and slip and slide around is a ton of fun. And I think Florence and Myrtle Beach definitely have helped me going to these tracks now in the Xfinity and Truck Series.
Yeah, the so for those that have never had a chance, like just running the wall like that, like so in Atlanta before they made the configuration change, we go there and do ride-alongs. And now, mind you, Stefan, I'm talking ride-alongs, completely different than what you're doing.
But we like to feel like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, it makes me feel better. But I'm telling you right now, back in the day when I'd come off a four at Atlanta, you almost couldn't hit the wall. Like, when you came off, that buffer right off of four. But when you go to a place where, Brian and I joke around at Myrtle, there was a time that we pushed the debris because we were cleaning the track, and somebody showed up and wanted a ride-along at Myrtle, and we had already pushed all the debris off the wall down to
the first dash line, literally about a car width.
So we had to run the whole top, and to stay focused, to not hit the wall, forget getting faster, forget the guys around you. It was just not hitting the wall.
Yep.
That was a process. But the best part, Stefan, is that Brian came up, and we got so comfortable with doing ride-alongs. He comes up, he's like, hey, man, you got to go try this.
Yeah.
This is awesome. So, because you go to so you can speak here in a minute about Darlington. When you go to Darlington and you're just up against that fence and you're trying to just focus on you and not hitting the wall, but also going faster than everybody else and making passes. What is it like to be at Darlington and every single lap you're focused on not hitting the fence?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? Homestead, like you said, Vegas, Darlington, all these tracks, allow you to be able to run that line against the wall. And there is a bit of a buffer to running the wall, but it's pretty easy to overstep. If I'm running the bottom on any of those racetracks and I miss it or overdrive my entry, obviously I kind of have room to catch myself and correct that mistake. When you're running the wall, any of those places, there is no room for error. So I figured out pretty early on when I started doing it that as you get close to the wall in these cars with the exhaust coming out the right side, the sound of it actually distorts as you get closer to the wall. And I figured out pretty early that when you're entering in the corner and you let off the throttle and you don't hear that exhaust distorted, you're not close enough. Places like that, it's really important to back up your entry, back up your entry right on the wall on entry and just, trying to carry as much throttle as you can all the way through the exit. But it is, it's a hard art to perfect. Some are better at it than others. I'm always trying to get better at it, but it's definitely a different type of feel and definitely one of the more cool things that we get to do and one of the more rewarding feelings when you hit it right.
Yeah, so with that being said, obviously for you and your family, kind of the most important racetracks, if I had to guess, the Rockinghams, the North Wilkesboros, the Darlingtons, your family history goes back to those tracks specifically, especially just being from this area. So with that being said, it's always tough for any racer, especially nowadays. Back in the day when Benny was running, your dad was running, you could be a good race car driver. I go back to Jimmy Spencer in my time.
Oh, yeah.
Just a big dude that was a badass racer. And nowadays, it's not the same. Like, you can be the best race car driver you want, and you got to figure out how to get in that car. So with that being said, like, going into each race for Stefan Parsons right now, what does it take for you to successfully get into a good car, get into a good truck? What does it take for you to get race by race right now?
Yeah, definitely. It's a team effort, trying to bring on board partners like I said, in Miami, we had Annette Bus Lines as a local Forder company. It's always really cool when you can have a local company and represent them in their backyard and to their demographic. For us, I have a really good group around me with Motorsports Management International, Suggs Sports Marketing, Brandon and Jill Suggs. And it's a group effort trying to bring on partners for these races. Obviously, we're fortunate that we have a lot of great partners on board, that we've had for the last several years and have a, building a solid schedule for this year. But there are definitely some target races that we want to run that we don't necessarily have sold yet. Rockingham, like you said, is a really special place for our family. Benny lived around that area in LRB for a long time and obviously won his championship in 73 there with a really cool story when he got wrecked and they had to weld a roll cage in the side of it and a lot of people helped out. That's just a really cool story. And then Darlington, like you said, I grew up going there. you know, all these tracks around the Carolinas, you know, Charlotte, Rockingham, Martinsville, Bristol, Darlington, all these places are really special for me because those are the tracks that I got to visit the most growing up when I was younger and didn't fly as much, probably because I was a little rambunctious and I'm not sure my parents trusted me to be on a plane for that long. But yeah, those are really special places for us and definitely places that we want to go this year. I have a really good team around me and Young's Motorsports and Tyler Young and Randy Young and Becky Young. And we all worked our tails off getting our truck ready for Homestead and felt like it was a really solid first outing for us as a group. And I feel like, you know, our performance is just going to get better the more we get to go to the racetrack. So just trying to bring on partners for those races is our ultimate goal right now. And like I said, between myself and all the people that I'm fortunate enough to have around me, it's a group effort.
Yep. So I'd be careful going to Martinsville because obviously we know houses are haunted there. But with that being said, like people don't realize what it takes for you. You know, I've had a chance to speak to you as far as going race by race. But, you know, I tell my kids all the time, like, it's all about putting the work in. If you want to do something, you got to put the work in. You can't just hope it shows up in your lap and that you get to just show up to the next race or you get to show up to the next baseball game and you're starting on the, you know, in first base or starting in the field. You got to put the work in. And, man, I'll tell you right now, just in our conversations, you do that. And for those that are watching that don't understand it, the effort that Stefan puts in to get the sponsors, to get the partners, because it's no different than coming to Florence Motor Speedway and you got to buy a set of tires. Stefan has to figure out how to get those set of tires. And that's if right. It's an 8-set of tire race where they have to go and get their practice and they got to get all their stuff, he's got to figure out how to offset that or pay for it. And obviously we all know what it takes to pay for tires. And there's more to it, obviously, than tires, and there's pit passes, and there's way more on his end. But I've never met a person that puts the work in to make sure that he gets his partners involved to the point where you can go race, but at the same time, make sure they get the exposure that they deserve. And so, you know, I've told you before, I'm proud of what you do to show up, because Brian and I, we'd love to run an Xfinity race. We'd love to run a cup race, but at the same time, man, the work it takes just to show up is a lot, and you're doing an amazing job. And for anyone that's watching, you know, I would highly suggest to get out there, especially our local guys. I think that's huge for the group around us, Darlington, Rockingham. If you're ever looking for exposure in our local area, you know, Stefan's out there. He'll show up. He'll put his car in the front of your yard if you want it to, as long as it puts him on a racetrack, just like our guys would want to be.
Yep.
So I think, Stefan, you're the definition of short track racer doing what we all want to do.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you guys. And yeah, there were times in my life where I didn't know if I was ever going to get to drive a race car again. And through really, I lend it to all the really good people around me, not only my family and my parents who have supported me from the beginning of my racing career and continue to support me, but, everyone around me that I've met along the way, and especially, Philip Smalley and his group at Motorsports Management International. You know, I ran my first truck race in 2018 and didn't really have a grand master plan from there, and through his help and a lot of people's help, too many to name, I've been fortunate to been able to run a lot of races since then. So it's definitely hard, but it's not as simple as maybe it used to be, where someone writes a check and you put their name on a race car. You got to be able to find what works for partners, and everybody's needs are different. And that's the cool thing about racing, is it is a marketing tool to where it can serve a lot of people's needs in different ways. But the main goal is making sure that your partners are happy and making sure they're getting everything out of partnership that they can, and you're going that extra mile. And just been super fortunate up to this point to be surrounded by good people. And, I think you're only as good as the people you have, you surround yourself with. And I've been fortunate to have some of those good people.
Yeah. And there was a time, there was a guy, Kevin, I used to work with, and he ended up with Boudreaux's Butt Paste was Boudreaux's his sponsor when he ran the Busch Series. And, man, like at this point, if you get the right people, it doesn't matter what the product is.
If only it was easy like we thought as kids. I'm just going to draw fast and just let me practice on signing my autograph. Yeah, that's all I got to work about.
Actually, every desk, Jacqueline, I'll tell you this, every desk at Vestal Senior High School has my autograph on it. I'm sure they changed by now because I graduated 25 years ago. yeah, that's all I cared about. I was like, oh. Yeah, at one point, Stefan, I had my S at the signature was a dollar sign. I was like, oh, I'm doing dollar sign first as an S, and then I'm going to do the rest. Like, it was, I had it all figured. That's all I cared about. I could care less about. So all I cared about was getting a 65 because that's what passed, and then I'm going racing. And all my friends were like, when are you going to be on TV? I'm like, give me a year or two. Don't worry about it. But no, like I said, it's all about the partners. It's all about putting it together. And man, you've done that. You've done an amazing job. If anything, you know, when this is all said and done, you got two jobs ahead of you. You got an announcer's role at Florence, whenever you want it, as well as a marketing role in, the NASCAR series. So, you know, the only thing I'll say right now to kind of finish this off and, kind of send us to break is, for our local guys, like I said, for the groups that, you know, have the money to invest or want to put their brand out there in front of thousands of people, because worst case scenario for the Darlington race, they're packed every time, sold out.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 60,000, you know, sitting in front of you. So no matter how it plays out, whether it ends up on TV, it's always going to be right there in front of you. As well as, like I said, Stefan will work with you to get your car, get his car to your business or whatever. So if you have any questions and you don't know how to get a hold of Stefan, reach out to myself, reach out to the racetrack. We'll get you in the right direction. But kind of to send it to break here, Stefan, one kind of final chance to talk about. I think the one I want to see you at is Darlington. I think that's the cool place. It's your stomping ground. What do we got to do? And who are we talking to try to make that happen?
Yeah, we're talking to a lot of people and trying to make it work. I don't want to, you know, give anything away or, you know, say anything until a deal is done. But, you know, that's definitely one we have circled on our calendar just because we feel like that's it's a really similar track to Homestead, as far as grip level and loads and just overall setup from what we just ran at Miami. And we felt pretty confident that, you know, for our first outing in Miami, it was pretty solid. And we know a lot of things that we can do to continue to get better. So definitely have that one circled on the calendar and wanting to go race and do. And personally, it's one of my favorite racetracks and love going down there and, you know, have a lot of memories, you know, from going to Myrtle Beach as a kid and driving by Darlington every time going down to the beach and just always dreaming of racing there. And then, you know, being fortunate enough to race with you guys at Myrtle Beach back in the day and then in Florence more recently. So definitely a special place and definitely hope we can be there back in the fall.
Yep. And if for some reason somebody is interested in Brian or I driving Stefan's car, just let us know and then we'll jump
in. Well, I can't speak for us, but I think I can speak for Stefan, where it's not like you're throwing your name on a car. It's going to overperform.
Oh, yeah.
Like he said, like he was outrunning some cars. It's much more caliber. They can probably be running better, but Stefan was outrunning them last week. And staying in tenfold with everything, just keep after it. It's only going to get better.
Yep.
But I do like where your head's at, Steve. That sounds good.
I'm just saying, if you don't want Stefan in and you want one of me or one of us,
we'll give you a ride along in a two-seater. That's about all we got.
The cool thing right now, the cool thing right now is, car count-wise, that for the first time, I might make a race. So it's a win for me because obviously I haven't done a good job of that so far whenever it's been presented to me. But Stefan, we appreciate you joining us. Like I said, all joking aside, we hope that someone in this area, even if it's I've always said about our front stretch sponsors, if I can get $100 and put 1,000 people down the front stretch, it's better off than we were without anyone.
Yep.
So I know for a fact, speaking to you, is if there's anyone out there that wants to put a sticker on his car and see it go around Darlington International, you know, and see it in the, what is it, the 75th anniversary event coming up.
Yep.
So just reach out. Like I said, if you can't reach out to him, reach out to me, reach out to Brian, reach out to the racetrack. We'll get you in touch with him because I'd love to see your sticker and I'd love to see Stefan on track at Darlington. So we wish you nothing but the best, Stefan, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah. No, thank you guys for having me. And like I said, I had a lot of fun coming down there to do the icebreaker and kind of my first experience broadcasting. You know, hopefully I didn't screw it up too bad, but definitely excited to get back down to Florence sometime soon.
Absolutely. You did a great job, and we'll see everybody on the other side of this break on tap. All right, we're back on tap. We've got the winner from
Lakeview.
Froth
on your beer, too. You're
yeah, just poured it. But we had our first event this year at Lakeview. Super exciting and a great group of cars for the Blue Ridge Outlaws. And your winner has joined us, Dylan Brown. Dylan, welcome to the show. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me, man. Really looking forward to the conversation about Lakeview and the Blue Ridge Outlaws and any questions you guys may have for me. So just appreciative for the opportunity.
Yep. So Brian and I, we've been around the sport for a while. But dirt is new to us.
Yeah, asphalt.
Yeah, asphalt. So dirt is new to us. My family raced a little bit of dirt. But, man, for our first show, watching you guys and just, you know, just that setting and pitching and just the constant work it takes to drive a dirt car, super impressed. And just kind of explain to people you know, what it's like to be inside of a car like that and just running dirt. Especially the other day, Tim and them put a new surface down, and everywhere you go, like at Florence, every time you show up to Florence, the asphalt's the same. When you show up at a different racetrack or even the same racetrack, it might have a new surface. What's it like to be in a car like that and to set it up to be competitive every single week?
Well, funny story. You talk about asphalt, so my family owns a grading and paving business, so I've been putting asphalt down all day. So I'm around asphalt and dirt. So, but, you know, and Tim and his surface, I talked to him. I sat on the front stretch, and I talked to him again the other day, man. You know, kudos to that guy, because when you put new dirt on a surface like that, it's really tough over the winter to make those, you know, the old clay and the new clay bond together so that way you have a good smooth surface. And I don't care where you go, anywhere in the country on a dirt track, when you put new clay, the first few weeks aren't you're asking for trouble. So to, you know, for him to have that race this weekend, to take that chance with that many cars with, you know, was, you know, he stepped out on a limb, and, you know, yeah, he had a little character in places, but, you know, that guy got on that, on his, Lele or Tiller, you know, what, there's so many different names for him now, went out on the racetrack several times to try to make that surface better. And I raced all over the thing, you know, and I mean, yeah, it was a little, you know, had a little character, but, you know, and talk about the surface changing. I mean, you could tell that the clay was new because, you know, we started there about 4:30 or so hot laps, and the track started to get slick and black and blow dust. And, we hot lap fast time, and I was, you know, pretty loose. And I told my guys, I was like, man, we need to tighten up to qualify. And then when I rolled out on the racetrack to qualify, I was like, man, we've really messed up here. The moisture had bled back in the track. And so changed a lot. I mean, the racetrack transitioned to dry and slick, and then transitioned back in the mud, all in just a matter of moments.
So I'll lean in on Brian, because I get yelled at all the time for not letting him ask questions. So he just led you into one of your questions.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got to come natural to them guys, or you guys. Like, so you practice, from what my understanding, like, dirt is much more limited than asphalt. But so you're pretty much chasing where you think you need to be on the track. And then on top of that, then you say, okay, this is the line on the track at this particular time. Now we need to adjust to the balance of the race car, correct?
Yeah, I mean, so in a dirt race, on a dirt track, the lanes and the lines may change every lap. So, you know, from time to time, you know, like you can tell in certain scenarios, like, well, you know, this lane is going to be better right now and maybe all night. Well, you know, in hot laps, I run around the middle in the practice session. I run around the middle. And when I went out to qualify, because of a hole that was getting into one, I run around the bottom. Well, then for the dash, I run around the bottom. Well, then for the race, I started out around the middle, worked my way to the bottom. And then I got in lap traffic and found that I needed to move back to the top because it was a lot cleaner. And for the tire choice I had that night, I needed to be up in the cleaner, smoother, and in the black. So in that 40 lap feature, I moved literally all over that racetrack, except for all the way against the upper dirt bank there. I mean, I covered every inch of that place. So a dirt car from, I don't know zero about asphalt. So as far as racing on it, so I don't know as far as how much the lanes may change in an asphalt race, but in a dirt race, literally it could change any lap.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you right now, you're a better man than all of us because in our world and when it comes to asphalt, this is loose. Like, it's like, oh man, this is too much. Yeah. In their world, this, like, they're nonstop.
And my right hand and my right hip. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty balanced.
That's what Brian was asking earlier is like, so when you said you're a little bit loose and needed to tighten up, in our world, like, it might have just stepped out center off just a little bit. And it's like, all right, I got to get a little bit of drive and I got to tighten it up from center off. But in your world, what is loose in a dirt car? Like, because it looks loose every time. Like, you're sideways.
Well, I mean, it is. So, you know, it just depends on who you talk to, what their terminology is. So, I'm an old go-kart racer. I come from go-karts. My dad and my granddaddy got me started in go-karts. So, I drive really straight. So, I guess you would say I drive closer to an asphalt racer than I do a dirt racer. I drive straight. So, when my car steps out, like, I don't like that. I want to be straight, car under me, and, you know, because – in my opinion, if you can leave straight and leave hard, then you're going to be okay. You know, so I want to be tight all the time. I want to be able to drive it and force it on the right front with the wheel and feel the right front with the steering wheel and almost be tied into the center and then just use my feet and my leverage to leave the corner with and leave straight and leave hard.
Yep.
So loose to me would be like maybe the right rear sliding a foot. To a lot of guys, they slide 3 or 4 foot every corner.
I think we're ready to try it now. Judging by the clinic he put on Saturday night.
Yeah.
He just told us how to do it. I think
yeah.
we can try it.
Yeah, we got it. but you had a great car. You know, qualified on the pole. Did you lead every lap? I believe you led every lap, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So, but it's a competitive group. Like, I mean, we looked at the times, and the times were, you know, super close. You just, like, when you get going, like, I watched – I had a chance. I had to go get Owen a battery for his camera, and I went to the infield. And when you watch from the infield versus the grandstands, it's two different worlds.
Yeah.
So, like, when they come in, like, the two it was a two dirt modified, and just setting sail and, like, landing on that right rear and being consistent is really no different than being consistent at a late model stock. If you can do the same thing over and over again, I think you're going to be better than the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, find that rhythm, yeah.
Yeah, so if you miss your marks, but at the track, like, I saw the one bump into one, like, about what, Dylan, about two lanes up into one, there was a hump right there, and if you hit that thing could really upset the car, and if you missed it, you could nail your corner, like I said, it was just, you did a great job. The whole group did an amazing job of having a good show and having good car counts and, you know, Blue Ridge Outlaws. So how did that start? How'd you get involved in it? And, where is it going?
So I really have, that was the third race I ran with those guys. And, I run one back in 2021 at Cherokee. And, so before they had a bunch of different motor packages and, so I'll just leave alone what was before, yeah. But now this guy has, this Jason Smoot has come up with a deal to where it's only 525 engines. So that means that we're all on the same motor. And, it has really put together a great schedule, you know, right here in the Carolinas that, you know, you can race anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 and, about twice a month, which is in my situation is what I need to do. You know, we have a business and I have a family and I'm really busy. And so I need to race every other weekend and be able to race, leave my house at 12 or 1 o'clock on Saturday and try to be home at 12 or 1 o'clock on Saturday night so I can make it to church on Sunday. So, but I mean, this thing's only going to grow. So the first two races, he's had close to 30 cars. And, you know, I left there Saturday night with right at $4,000. I mean, that, you know, well, we had enough money to stop at Bucky's on 95 on the way back.
Yeah. So we had that conversation with Doug Barnes when he was at Speed Weeks. And, you know, there's definitely a balance, Dylan, when it comes to racetracks. Because Brian and I have been racers, and now we're racetrack promoters. And there's a balance of wanting to get the racer the money, and then there's a racetrack has to pay its bills.
Keeping the doors open, yeah.
It's such a hard balance. But to be able to walk away, like Doug said, he walked away making money. And we want that to be the case. But we got to find that fine line, and it's definitely a balance to get the cars, to get the money right. And sponsors are a big thing if we could ever figure it out, but sponsors are tough to come by. But dirt racing seems like for some reason, not for some reason, it's been like this for a long time. Just the consistency in fans and car count.
Yeah, the entertainment level is definitely there.
Oh, yeah. Which I go back to the fact that, like I said, when you watch these guys, it is a full-on drive. Like, it is the worst-case scenario in an asphalt guy's brain. Every time they get in the corner, it's just constant. Like, I mean, they're just working the wheels.
So I guess like another like asphalt question here. Did you ever get into an opportunity, a chance where you race a longer race maybe, and you have to like save tires? Is that ever a thing in the dirt world?
Oh, for sure. And you know, that was a, you know, might as well go ahead and say it now. It's been there's enough people know now, but that was one of the things that led to me being so good. I think Saturday night I put a hard tire on versus everybody else's soft tire. And about lap 15 or 20 there, when that tire fired up, I mean, it was on, you know.
Steve, notebook. We're taking notes, by the way. You keep on dealing. We're taking notes because we're going to try to.
So if you ever wonder, put hard tire on at Lake.
Well, there's enough guys that know that now, you know, and that's another big thing to it, you know. So you got a 2, 3, or 4, you know, you get to decide what to put on. And a lot of those guys sit on the soft tire and I've just been fortunate, man. I'm not on here bragging. I've run the road enough to know that, you know, in certain conditions when you need a hard tire versus when you're not. And I say it every time I get a chance to say, I'm just very fortunate. I've been put in a good place around a lot of good, smart people. And it makes me look better. And I'm just the guy that holds the steering wheel, man. I got a good group of guys around me. So, you know, to answer your question about laps, yeah, I mean, there any time we might run, I mean, 40 laps is a short race really for me, you know. A lot of the races we've run in the last few years, we run 50, 60, 70 laps, and I like the longer races. I'm like I said, I drive straight, I take care of my tires, and that car that I was in Saturday night is one of my older cars, but it's my best car. So I don't usually qualify fast time. Usually that car, we have to start about fourth or fifth, and by lap 40 or 50, here we come.
Yep. So I'll ask you, because it's something we've talked about over our episodes. So asphalt is all about tires. So Brian has to stack tires accordingly. So like when we get a set of tires, like when our truck comes in, Brian puts them in barcode order. So everyone's got the same tire, because, you know, if someone gets a bad tire, we want to take it off of our plate. How does that go when it comes to dirt? So like you said, you had a harder tire and there's a soft tire. Do you guys, like when you went there Saturday,
like an option almost?
Yeah. Did you buy tires or did you get to choose your own tires?
So, I brought my own tires with me, but there was a tire truck there that I could have bought whatever I needed. But, because me and my brother both race, I try to have all of our tires ready. So, you know, if like, at the last minute, we decide that we're going to put on a hard tire. I ain't got to run down there and buy 2 or 3 or, you know, every time we decide to put on and get them ready. Like our tires are ready in the truck. I just pull them out, put them on, and let's go. But there was a tire truck there that you know, we could have bought whatever we needed from. But, yeah. You know, I'm not sure about the asphalt world, but, you know, I guess you do that to kind of keep the guys honest on what they do with their tires. They have to get them there. Is that right? They have to get their tires there.
So like when they show up, like on our side, and I guess at this point, we're just asking questions. We're not.
So after this is all said and done, you said them guys are morons. Yes, we are morons when it comes to the dirt world. I will say.
Yeah, for sure. But we're just asking questions. So like on our side, like when you show up for an asphalt race for a late model, you have to buy R4. Brian scans them in. You can't take them until after round one of after your first practice.
Yep, keep them impounded. Yep.
So we keep them impounded, and then we give them to them.
Well, we try to eliminate tires being a variable.
Yeah.
So everyone's on the same stuff. Yeah. Yep.
So like in the dirt world, I guess we're just asking a question. In the dirt world, because it's a little bit different, it's not an asphalt, you're not going to burn them up. You're probably – I mean, do you – and I might be asking too much here. Is there soaking? Like, do you guys do any kind of prep, grinding? Like, is that a thing in the dirt world?
So, in most cases, you can cut and siphon your tires, and you can be. But in this particular series, in the Blue Ridge Outlaws, he has went away from allowing you to cut and siphon on the rears. That you could run the first three races, you could cut and siphon the fronts, but I've never ran a series that you could do any. sorry, you can do any type of grinding you want to do, but I've never run a series that you can do any type of soaking.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I said, we're trying to understand, because like I said, Brian and I, we didn't grow up in dirt. We've been asphalt people for a while, and lately the asphalt world tire wise has been a problem,
yeah, it was something that takes a little bit more effort, and probably it should.
Yeah, but we do. So, we're just curious. Overall, Dylan, I mean, what a weekend for what you guys did. I thought overall class wise, like I talked to Scott afterwards, they had almost 90 cars between all the divisions. So as a racetrack and what Brian and I do, impressive as far as what they had, as far as their crowd was good. There's a lot of cool things that happen at Lakeview, kind of eye opener for all of us. We did our best to put on a good show as far as the broadcasting.
Yeah, Dylan, do you have a chance to watch that back at all yet? Or
yeah, I did, and I was going to comment on that, man. It was really see the amount of cameras, and I was blown away by the production of that. I mean, it was really awesome to see that production.
We might not know dirt racing, but we know a little bit. More so Paul.
Well, actually, my kids. So Dylan. But Paul was producing it, and then my middle daughter was main camera, and my youngest son was main camera or turn three camera, and we had to steal him after he got done almost wrecking, or not almost wrecking.
He pretty much wrecked
a dude in legend cars here. And then Brian and I joked earlier on the broadcast or on the podcast is that we had to get Owen out of here so he didn't get his ass kicked, because my son, he sailed a kid for fourth, like just put the wood to him. And so we took Owen out of there and sent him up to Lakeview to be the camera operator so he didn't get his butt.
So as a dirt racer, though, like the angles and everything that shots that we did perform, you thought was pretty good.
Absolutely, dude. It was all, me and another guy thought about that, like, you know, so obviously in the dirt world, dirt on dirt is, you know, that's the premier, I would say. Flow Racing is the premier, you know, broadcasting service.
Yep.
So it's been around the longest. So, but to watch back that production, I watched it. I always try to watch every race I go through if they have a video, you know, to learn from my mistakes and what
especially
I could do
better.
Especially
when you win, it always makes it more enjoyable, right?
How guys start. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just a student of my own game, you know, and to watch what guys have done in certain situations and watch how a guy starts a race and, you know, just try to, you know, sort my memory bank. But anyways, I went back and watched it, and I really thought it was honestly, for the first time watching one of your guys' streams, I was thoroughly impressed.
Well, we appreciate that. And so kind of to start heading towards the end of this, obviously we know what we talked about earlier with Stephen Parsons, that you and I can't just get here and just become a race car driver. It takes a team. It takes sponsors. Who gets you to the racetrack week in and week out?
Yeah, well, I got to thank my grandma and grandpa, my mom and dad with Turkey Landscaping. You know, I'm sitting in our office right now. Obviously, without them, then they wouldn't none of this be possible. And then Warren Performance Automotive, Boomer at Boomer Custom Builders, then Myrtle Beach has been really good to me. Highway 9 Body Shop, Pro Fabrication, Andrew. I forgot him on the front straightaway, man. That guy's been a big part of my deal for a long time, and I'm very appreciative for him. And Renegade Racing Fuels, Hendron Racing Engines, Penske Racing Shocks, HST, Wyatt Hardison. I mean, that guy has worked really hard for me the last 3 or 4 months on some different things we've been working on, and I was glad to put that stuff in Victory Lane this weekend. And Raised Wraps, FK Rod Ends, Dynamic Drive Lines. I don't want to leave anybody out this time. Jones Equipment, CJ Jones. I think I got them all. If I missed you, I'm sorry. I'm very, very appreciative for everybody. You know, and my brother Jacob Brown and Russell Kennerly, the two guys that work, you know, hand and foot with me every week, and that they do all the work, man. I mean, literally, I get our tires ready, help them wash the car, and load them back in the hauler. Them guys work really, really hard for us to run up and down the road and do what we do, and I'm very appreciative. Yeah, more than anything for those two guys.
And I tell people all the time, like, I've had numerous times I've had to speak in front of a camera, whether it's you know, for Myrtle Beach Speedway and news stuff, or it's been in Victory Lane, which, let's be honest, it's been a while for me.
When was that?
Yeah, so, well, 2000 and never. But anyways, but people don't realize what it takes when you're in Victory Lane. You're super excited. Your adrenaline's going, and like, you always are super appreciative of everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is so hard, though, for your brain to process how to get all the names out, you know, and you know them all, you just can't put them all together.
But once you step away, like, crap.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as the camera drops, you're like, ah, yep. Time out. Can I try again? So, so we get it, and we just appreciate you joining us, Dylan, and we appreciate you being a part of Lakeview and being a part of our first broadcast, really, at Lakeview, and
informing us how to do this. Yeah, on dirt racing. Yeah.
Hard tire, right rear. I got it. No, so hold on. Let me
be
check
smooth,
my notes.
Drive it similar to asphalt, which we might can do that, I think.
I'm telling you right now, I'd be the first one. We'd sail it off in, and I'd just be like, wah.
He hit that bump you said to avoid. He'd be right into
it. Yeah, I'm telling you, that thing was pretty solid. But so Paul, we're working on making Paul a lot like Dan Patrick. He's going to just start giving us stuff. But one of my favorite things that I told Paul about is your spotters. The way that you guys have spotters, like, we have spotters that speak. You guys have spotters that have the sticks, and because you have receivers. How do you process that? Like, how does that work for you as far as, like, I'm sure you got people in corners and they've got signals. How does that work as a spotter in a dirt race?
Well, so, you know, for years my brother has spotted for me, and now he's racing a lot more. He wound up third Saturday, so so I had another guy standing there. Russell was the guy I was talking about, standing about turn one. He does a great job for me, man. You know, and we have certain signals to signal different things, which I'm not going to give away on here. But,
yeah,
you know, just signal different things, and I need to know. But before, when my brother was doing it, I could tell by the expression on his face how desperate how desperate the signal he was giving me was. So,
you can see that while you're like, so
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, like, jeez, as a driver, like, Brian and I have driven, but, like, as you're going, because I saw spotters in the center of the, like, entry a corner, and they were doing this. Like, on entry, you've gotten so comfortable with it, you see a difference in this versus this, and you also see the difference in their expression.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
While still navigating where the fastest line is at the time because of track conditions.
Yeah.
Dang. That's good.
Do you have multiple? Or is it just like, do you have like a one in turn one, one in turn two? Like, do you have multiples, or you just have the one or two?
Just one.
God, money. Here I am. Like Owen's like, oh, Dad, I don't want to like hear anybody. I'm like, son, you got to get a spotter. You need to be able to hear who's inside and outside. These guys are just like, just show me a couple hand gestures and I'm good. No, it's impressive. And like I said, there's always the saying that dirt is for racing and asphalt to get to the racetrack. And the more that I've spent time actually watching it, because I used to be the other way, which was asphalt for racing and dirt was something else. I forget what the saying was. But I'm learning that you guys are men and we're just boys.
Yep.
Like, we're over here just doing our thing on asphalt.
I'll leave that up to you. So I'm not going to make a lot of people mad at me. I'm an asphalt guy too, so I've been putting it down all day. So I'm not going to say anything bad about asphalt.
Well, end of day, I guess we're all race fans, right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's dirt or if it's asphalt. We're race fans, and that's why we're here, and that's why we do this stuff. It's just to talk racing, have a good time. You know, like I said, Brian again did most of it, not most of it, all of it. Trash today. So we
Damn,
worked.
You like call me the custodian, don't you? Every time you get opportunity, this guy does trash. That's right. Yep.
So we work our tails off to put on a racetrack or to have a racetrack just because we love the sport, and it doesn't matter if it's dirt or if it's asphalt. We just have a good time. We love the ability, and actually, to be honest, Dylan, the problem that Brian and I have is that when we're at this place, we're like, we want to just be like, all right, hey, you come call the race. Let me try driving.
We should try the start thing, though. I could see you and I, like, one of us being the spotter, one of us being the driver.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be, like, laughing at it. Like, when you make a mistake and you come by and turns one, I'd be, like laughing.
No, what would be the problem is I'd be the one holding the beer, and I got one stick. I'm like, oh, no, you're fine.
Something just – I think it's got a mechanical problem here. I'm coming in to park, and I want one of those beers.
Keep coming. Yeah. No, but no, it's like I said, I've enjoyed learning dirt. I've enjoyed watching dirt. You know, we hope to continue to make the broadcast better every time we do it when it comes to the dirt racing. So, Dylan, thank you for joining us here on tap. Thank you for just being a part of the series at Lakeview, and congratulations on your win.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity, and maybe someday I'll come down there and get in a set in the stands with y'all, or in the tower with y'all at Florence, and watch a race. So
be awesome.
Just like I'm saying, man, I'm just, you know, we're all just race fans, and you know, the whether it's dirt or asphalt, we all have a desire for the sport and want to see it thrive. So you know, good luck to you guys at your season this year at Florence, and I hope you have the best one yet.
Yes, sir. Well, good luck at your next race, and we appreciate everybody joining us, and we'll see you on the other side of On Tap.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the time.
All right. We're back on tap here at Florence Motor Speedway.
Studio B.
As we get ready for another weekend at Southern National Motorsports Park.
Oh, yeah.
Got a race this weekend. What is it? The Sign Shop 150 this week, I think.
Seems fitting.
Yep, what they got. So Brian and I and Paul headed that way. Obviously, Paul's going to do a better job of producing, whatever. And so it's not me deal. It's not me deal.
Pretty much, you just said...
we're going
your family, minus your family, right? Leanne got a big birthday weekend.
Oh, yeah, planned. Leanne's going to turn 17 this weekend. Owen is going to join us. He's not racing, but he'll be back to doing camera work. Morgan and Jacqueline and Leanne will go to Martinsville. They want to go watch Luke race his first truck race this weekend. And then also,
that's gonna be good for him to go watch a race or to. Never mind.
Whatever.
The person that they're going to watch is actually in the race. I'm sorry.
I got it. I don't.
You teed it up.
I know. Terrible at Martinsville. We got it.
I don't know about terrible.
Actually, I'm pretty. Anyways, never mind. We won't get into it.
Hey, well.
But
let's have this conversation we were having earlier.
Which one?
Just about Martinsville.
Which part?
No, just continue on.
Anyways. Martinsville. Sorry, I get sad every time I think about it. I watch the videos back. Not even any of us do. We watch our videos back, and I'm like, man, I thought I had it right there. But anyways.
That's where I was going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was actually pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. All right, moving on. Moving on.
Next. What is that from?
Coming at you, yeah.
Seinfeld.
Hello, Newman?
No, next. With the no suit for you. Next. Anyways. Great show until we got here, I guess.
Well, that's typically when the beer starts off.
Yeah. But we had Stephen Parsons on the show, Dylan Brown, winner from Lakeview. We talked about our past.
I love how you utilized Stephen's part to get yourself a sponsor.
I wanted to go run the Xfinity race. If they don't want to sponsor him, screw it. I'll go.
You guys are one sponsor. If it's Stephen or us, let's go.
And if Stephen's not your guy, like I'm right here.
Now he punches and bunches. Yeah, but
we got, I thought I needed a washing machine, but I gave it up.
Paul's in our loss right now. Yeah, he is like, where are we going with this?
ELE, Paul, ELE.
Everybody love everybody.
Anyways, just another episode here of drinking beer and talking stuff for On Tap.
What we
and,
do. Southern National should be good. Weather looks good.
Weather's going to be good. We're starting to get to that point of the year where 70s are where it's coming. So, like, now it's just a matter of is it going to rain or not.
Yeah. Probably losing hoodies before too long.
Yeah. Well, I got to find hoodies. I'm currently wearing the same one I wore at Southern National.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils in a bad way.
But, going home would be nice. I haven't been home in a minute. Yeah. So, but no, it's just an overall, just enjoying coming here and talking on the camera and just talking about our racing, talking about what we got going on, having a chance to just say it out loud. So when people kind of go home and say, oh, Brian and Steve thought this and did this, it's our chance to talk about it. So we're here. We're live. We're in effect. Isn't that an 80 song? But
I promise by winning Rome is
when in Rome.
Well, yeah, I promise. We heard it earlier.
Yeah.
Please go ahead. Win in Rome.
But, no, it's a, we're excited to be a part of this. We are excited for you guys to join us. And, we just thank you guys for joining us here on Tap, episode 10, and we look forward to seeing you next week.